Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm proud to bring you Nick Curto Presents the Disclosure Network. Greetings and welcome, Nick. How are you today?
Very well, Hercules. Very happy to be doing this program with certainly a bright light when it comes to ufology. This is going to be an exciting program for sure.
I'm looking forward to it. Here is your guest, and I'll be here if you need me.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And again, this is Nick Curto Presents the Disclosure Network. And I'm Nick Curto, co-founder and director of Disclosure Network New York, and the host of this live podcast. DNNY is a grassroots organization now celebrating our 20th year. My God, I can't believe it's been that, but it has. And we provide two meetings a month throughout the year in Manhattan. We focus on cutting-edge UFO, ET issues, paranormal phenomenon, as well as many other and related subjects from a wide variety of areas and sources as we go deep into these exciting and often misunderstood subjects that the mainstream corporate press will never talk about or ever discuss the real facts of. Our members do intensive investigative research into these various cutting-edge topics, and they share that information with our group at our meetings and with our internet followers on YouTube. We are currently doing only Zoom meetings twice a month for the rest of the year and probably well into the next year, and we hold those on Wednesdays, twice a month at 7 p.m. They usually last about 90 minutes. And if you'd like more information to see and be part of that, I'm going to give you membership information if you let me know that you're interested in that. And if you have a pen and a piece of paper, I'm going to give you my email address.
Let me know.
And I'll do that. Okay, here we go. My email address is nicknyny1, and it's not O-N-E, it's the numeral 1, at gmail.com. Once again, nicknyny1, at gmail.com, and I will be back to you on an email with how to become a member. Now, our motto right from day one, 20 years ago, was, quote, it's still here, quote, connecting the dots to seek truth, unquote. And we have available daily our DNNY news blast service, and we put out many times during the day the cutting edge information about ET and UFO, all kinds of stories, what's going on in the news. And it's always incredibly exciting. And also some other subjects, too, that are cutting edge. Okay, with that said, I am so very, very happy and pleased to introduce our special guest, and certainly he is special in so many ways. He is a UFO, certainly superstar on the subject. Robert Morningstar, welcome to you, sir.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Ah, there you go. Ah, good. Well, we've been looking forward very much to you being on the program. I'm going to give just a very brief. I mean, if we do your whole bio, it would be half the program, at least. But let me give our listeners just a little. Let me give our listeners just a little bit of a taste of some, not all, but some of the things that you've been involved with. You're an FAA licensed private pilot. An instrument ground instructor, and you've studied the paranormal and UFOs for over 50 years. Wow. And you've published many research articles exposing government cover-up, and boy, do we want to talk about that, and deceptions, want to talk about that, also applied to JFK assassination, and you've got my interest on that, I'm sure, and also many of our listeners. You've presented many, many important places with data. Some of these subjects were the sign of intelligent life on Mars. Other subjects that were covered up by NASA that you've gone into deeply. Want to get into that. And I'm so happy to have someone like you doing these subjects and going deep into these very disinformation technology areas, which are all over the place and still are. Also, you're a publisher and an editor of the UFO Spotlight and UFO Digest. Good for you, man. And you've exposed the real nature and menace. And I want to go really into this also of the UFO phenomenon, its cover-up and threat to our constitutional liberties. My God, you got my total attention on that. So again, Robert, just to start off, I want to do a very brief background on you, and then we'll get right into the meat of this. So first of all, may I ask, where were you first born?
I was born in Nicaragua. I was conceived in New Orleans. My father was a merchant marine captain. My mother wanted to be with her parents when she had me. So I was born in Bluefields, Nicaragua. I was there for 3.5 years, and I have now spent 69 years in New York.
Fantastic. And were you from a large family with brothers and sisters?
Oh, and they're growing. We had an extended family. We were 3 brothers plus 6 cousins. And now, as a result of Ancestry.com, I have acquired a half-brother, a half-sister in Nashville, Tennessee, and a half-brother in British Columbia, and a niece in British Columbia, just through my DNA analysis. My father was a merchant marine captain. He got around.
Fantastic. Wow. And that's probably, I'm good. This kind of answers my next question, but your family, especially, I guess, your dad, did that propel you into this area of research?
Well, I would say that my father's profession, being a merchant marine captain, always kept me close to the sea. And I say I could never live in a landlocked state as much as I love the Midwest. I could never live far away from the Atlantic Ocean. I'm an Atlantean man. And so early in my life, I got involved with naval affairs, and we started off with sea cadets. And then the sea cadets mentored me for 5 years. And then through high school, I was mentored. And in college, I became part of a U.S. Navy research program into artificial intelligence, in which I volunteered to have my brain measured, mapped, actually, was the word it was
really
used. Yes.
Wow.
And my brain function, brain wave function, brain voltages were measured, and my cogitation, my way of thinking, was put into a computer, as I was told, to develop artificial intelligence. And in 1969, I said to my teacher, professor, what is artificial intelligence? And he said, Bob, I'm going to measure brainwave functions and brain voltages and map neural networks. And I said, what are neural networks? He said, well, each of your faculties is determined by different nerve pathways in the brain. So logical thinking, spatial, temporal, spatial orientation, language, speech, all of these occur in certain regions of the brain, and the nerves that are involved are called neural networks. So I'm going to map the neural networks, and I'm going to teach a computer how to think like a human being using me as a model. So then I said, that's fascinating. What they didn't tell me, or maybe they didn't know, is that there would be a feedback between me and the computer when they connected my brain. I like to call it the Krell brain boost, you know, like the movie Forbidden Planet, where the scientists put on that Krell machine, and if it didn't kill them, it made them smarter. Well, it turned out that actually did have an effect. I'd like to say it's probably tied into Roswell, because in the many years that I've been investigating Roswell and the gadgetry that was recovered there, the headband that was used to do the experiment had 6 electrodes on it, and it was worn like a headband. And I believe that once they energized it, the electromagnetic frequencies that were conducted through the headband connected parts of my brain that are not usually connected in other people's brains, in the sense that the electricity that was flowing through my head during the experiment was connecting different neural networks to each other in an unusual way. And as a result, I've been gifted with very quick eyes, very quick analytical skills, a very, very excellent memory. And so I've used that all to make my way toward truth. And the JFK assassination was one of the biggest parts of my life. I always asked myself why I had been given these gifts. And when I was about 42, the answer came, and I was the person who solved the major mysteries of the JFK assassination, specifically who done it and how did they get away with it. And it has a lot to do, has all to do with UFOs.
I know a little bit about that, but what you're covering here is certainly new material. Robert, for when you come back, I'd like to have you, as I mentioned, my guest for the new year, my first program, and perhaps some of that program could be on just that subject alone. I would be so interested in that and what your findings were. I was in Boston in college at the time, and when the announcement came, as everyone, we couldn't believe our ears. We couldn't possibly think this can't be true. The president, and I met a friend, my colleague, one of my classmates immediately, and I said, "You're not going to believe this, Tom, but they just assassinated the president." And he said, "The president of our college?" Because it just seemed inconceivable. And I said, "No, the president of the United States." And we both just froze because it was such a devastating, as you know well, it just devastated the nation and the whole world, of course.
Absolutely. Well, the point to be made is that President Kennedy died because of his great desire to tell the American people the truth about UFOs. And on November 12th of 1963, just 10 days before he died, he penned a memo to the CIA, the Department of Defense, NASA, the different services, demanding an accounting of all UFO activity, demanding an accounting of all the secret space programs, and calling for cooperation with the Russians, the Soviets at that time, in a joint venture to the moon and exchange of scientific information. Because President Kennedy and Premier Khrushchev dreaded the idea of an accidental nuclear war, and it was apparent that one faction, or more than one faction of UFO entities, presence, were trying to trick the United States and Russia into an accidental nuclear war. We would see huge hordes of UFOs, which were mistaken for ballistic missiles, coming over the North Pole, where they were picked up by the Dew Line and the Bemuse Line, delayed early warning system and the ballistic missile early warning systems. And Cheyenne Mountain would go crazy. NORAD would go crazy thinking it was a nuclear attack from Russia. And they'd go to DEFCON 1 ready to retaliate. All of a sudden, the UFOs would stop dead right over Canada and shoot straight up into outer space. And so the Air Force gave them the name Fast Walkers. That was their code word, Fast Walkers. And then President Kennedy had been in office 12 days. That would be February 2nd of 1961, when he received his first serious call from Europe, NATO, calling that huge hordes of unidentified aircraft that they thought might be Russian bombers overflying Eastern Europe. They flew over Germany, West Germany, then France, which was part of NATO at the time. Then if they flew over the United Kingdom, they turned north, went to the North Sea, turned back to the east, flew over Scandinavia and Finland and back over Russia. And when they were over Russia, they disappeared. So that was a big scare. So President Kennedy, President Kennedy was privy to the Roswell crash from 2 days, 3 days after it happened. He was briefed on an airplane flight between Boston and Washington by a staff member of the Secretary of the Air Force. and the Secretary of the Air Force in 1947 was Stuart Symington, same last name as Fife Symington, the governor of Arizona during the Phoenix Lights. And I had a chance to meet Governor Fife Symington in Washington, and I asked him, are you the son of Stuart Symington? He said, no, I'm his nephew. And he was also in the Air Force. Governor Symington served in the Air Force, and I had a chance to talk to him about the craft. And he said, Robert, this thing was so big, you can't imagine. He said, you're from New York. You know how wide a Sunday New York Times is when you open up both pages, right? He said, yes.
Yep.
I said, yes. Mm-hmm. He said, well, imagine, because I did this. He said, I put my arms over my head as if I was holding the two pages of the New York Times and the edges of the craft, the wingtips of the craft still extended beyond that. That's how big this thing was.
Wow.
So that, and he was caught, you know, the Governor Symington, he was caught in the crossfires of the deep state, because everyone was forbidden at threat to your life, practically speaking, you know, that you couldn't admit UFO reality, because that is the deep state. The deep state was born to keep UFOs and extraterrestrial presence on Earth secret. And so we're making headway. The Navy finally broke through. The U.S. Navy has been trying to tell the American people the truth about UFOs since the inception of the deception. It's always been an admiral, a U.S. Navy admiral, either Sidney Sores or Admiral Hillenkoetter, or a Marine major like Philip Kehoe, always trying to get the word out to the American people. But the real block has been the secret government, which is comprised of paperclip Nazis, NASA, the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, and the U.S. Army and Air Force working together. You have to remember the U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force were one thing, one entity, until 1947 when they were split up. But their mentality was not split, which is top secrecy, hide it from the American people, exploit the issue in every possible way to maximize the funding for their secret programs. And President Kennedy was adamantly against that. He was out to expose the paperclip Nazis within his. He promised to break up the CIA into 1,000 pieces in October. And unfortunately, they got to him first. But those of us who believed in him and admire him, rascal though he was, we still believe in truth, justice, and the American way. So that's been my role, is to tell the people the truth about the JFK assassination. Because if you believe that what you see in the Zapruder film is true, then you're no better off than a bunch of munchkins in Oz. And they got the idea for secret government rule from The Wizard of Oz, where a technical wizard, toots and whistles and pretty colors and balloons, could trick a whole society into living in illusion. And I'm afraid to say that I thought the JFK assassination was the greatest exercise of mass mind control the world has ever seen, but it was, had ever seen, until this COVID caper came in. And they've perfected the techniques of trauma-based mind control almost to perfection. We're still fighting it. We're not susceptible to it because we lived through the JFK assassination, the Vietnam War, Gulf War I, World Trade Center attacks, and we know how the secret government works. But the youngsters are dupes, complete dupes of this trauma-based mind control. And many of our people are living in paranoia, anxiety, fear, distress, because they've been made panicked to the marrow. But if people realized how innocuous the actual coronavirus is, when you have 99.97% of survival rate, it is the biggest fraud and the greatest crime that has been committed against the human race since World War II.
Everything that you have been mentioning here 100% on it with you, of absolutely. And Disclosure Network New York, those members are also on it just like you are. And it's hurtful when you see our beloved country going through such deception after deception aggressively, so we don't know what the truth will be or ever is. And that's the plan. Luckily, there are people, and I think the trend is growing, thank God, that there are more people realizing that we've been duped beyond belief, and they're digging deep now, like you are and like we are,
yes,
for the truth, because we have to have that. I wanted to ask you about 9/11 and your thoughts on that, if I may.
Sure. Well, 9/11, again, it's modeled on the JFK assassination with multiple operatives. That is to say that I knew since 1999 that China was planning to hit a major economic and psychological target in the United States, because they actually published the plans in a book called Unrestricted Warfare that was written by two Chinese colonels of the Chinese Air Force. And they even recommended using a cutout, a third-party terrorist organization, to hide their fingerprints, and they recommended using somebody like Osama bin Laden. So the point is, we knew the plan was underway. I myself had the misfortune of running into three of the four terrorists that hijacked planes in 2001. I met Mohammed Atta, Hani Hanjour, and Marwan al-Shehhi, all of them while they were training out at Essex County Airport, New Jersey, Caldwell Airport, which is the airport and the flying club from which John F. Kennedy Jr. took off on his fatal flight. So I realized that these fellows had sabotaged John F. Kennedy Jr. And I tried to warn the government from August 9th till September 10th that there was something really wrong with the flight training at Caldwell Airport. But nobody, only one really dedicated FBI agent in New York City really believed me, and he tried everything in his power to try to get an investigation going. But there was a turf war between the New Jersey office and the New York office. And ultimately, it was something that had to happen to wake us up to some degree. So in the same way that the assassinations of JFK, Martin Luther King, and Robert F. Kennedy involved enlisting patsies who were partly participants but not the actual killers. The patsies in this case, in 9/11, were the 19 hijackers. They did hijack the planes. They did fly them into the World Trade Centers, but that was not enough to bring the World Trade Centers down. So the secret government had to ensure that, knowing the plan was coming to strike the buildings, they had to ensure that it really succeeded, because they did it in 1993 and the building stood and everybody just, you know, brushed it off. So the secret government had controlled demolition set up to make sure the buildings fell all the way down. And that was the excuse for the wars that ensued over the last 20 years, beginning with Afghanistan and then going through Syria, and Libya, Yemen, and so on and so forth. So the techniques that
were used... That was the Pearl Harbor of the time is what it was.
Yes. And now this is a different one, but it is a Pearl Harbor to sneak attack on the whole world this time using the COVID caper as the excuse. And I'm hoping that people are awakening and that we will support each other and not turn against each other as the mass media is trying to do. They are trying to impose a new form of segregation in our society, which is why I say that COVID passports are illegal, unconstitutional, and business owners who enforce segregation here in New York and anywhere in the United States are criminals. You are enforcing segregation. Segregation was outlawed by the 1964 Civil Rights Act. And you should bear that in mind. And anyone who has refused service that any business enforcing COVID passports should make a point of suing the business owner, because that's how it's going to end up. The business owner has to realize that he is not a criminal if he doesn't enforce it, but he is a criminal if he does enforce it, and he is liable. So I say to business owners, what would you rather get? A $5,000 fine from Comrade de Blasio, or a $50 million lawsuit from a citizen whose constitutional rights you have violated? And I ask people to become more active. I'm calling for the formation of freedom brigades. This is a term coined by my friend Kat McGuire, who's been organizing marches and rallies here in New York. On Monday, there is going to be a rally in front of the United Nations, and there's going to be a rally at 4 o'clock in front of the Australian consulate at 150 West 40th Street, 4 p.m. on Monday. The New York City Teachers Union is marching. They've been refused. They sought an injunction against the mandatory vaccinations, but Justice Sotomayor blocked it from getting to the Supreme Court. One judge decided not to allow it to ascend for a full hearing before the Supreme Court. So it's left to the people. So freedom brigades, my suggestion to people is to organize individually your freedom brigades. And freedom brigades should be composed of 7 people, 3 to do the organization and the direction, 4 to recruit more 7-person cells. This makes it very manageable. Sometimes when an organization gets too many hundreds of people all at once, it's kind of chaotic. But if you work on this 7-member freedom brigade idea, then you can develop it individually, work locally, then join together in a larger municipal and national organization. I'm mentioning October 4th because that's when this, the soonest you can be mobilized, and that is through the New York City Teachers Union, which is going to have marches that afternoon, culminating at 4 o'clock at the Australian Embassy. Folks, we have to save the Australians. The world is looking to us, America, the United States, to save them from what has already taken them over. Australia and New Zealand have totally been taken over by a communist tyranny. The Australian government has forbidden news helicopters from flying over the demonstrations for fear of showing how vast the resistance is. And last week, the Australian government shut down the internet in Australia to prevent local organizers and activists from communicating. The same is on its way here unless we stop it. So it's a time, I know the powers that be dread the word militia, even though it's enshrined in stone in the U.S. Constitution. We all have the right to organize a militia. And they've tried to constrict that definition. But a freedom brigade is less frightening, or should be. But tyrants are afraid of freedom. They're afraid of free expression. They're afraid of the truth. So folks, do organize and support your right to travel freely, your right of assembly, your right of freedom of speech, your right to feel secure in your own person, your home, and your personal affairs, your papers. That's the Fourth Amendment. So forced vaccination is unconstitutional based on the Fourth Amendment, the right of the citizen to feel secure in his own person. If somebody's going to come and jab you with toxic, a witch's brew, you're not going to feel secure. Many people are dying. A 21-year-old young man just died in Tennessee one day after receiving the vaccine. And they're saying that the cause of death is not determined. That's how stupid the mass media and science has become. While I'm at it, let me say that we're not fighting science. We're fighting against anti-science. And anti-science is the perversion of true science, and it was born and was the outgrowth of the JFK assassination. Because in order to get away with the murder of the President of the United States and hide the crime so that the guilty could go free and the innocent could be convicted in the public mind. They had to pervert law. They perverted medicine in order to get away with the autopsy. They perverted the field of physics by positing the magic bullet theory. And it just started there. So those three things, medicine, law, physics, science in general, turned to anti-science as a result of the JFK assassination. And this government has learned to rule by lies. They lied to us about Vietnam. They lied to us about the Iraq war. They lied to us about 9/11. And now they're lying to us about COVID and the threat of COVID. And folks, protect your children. Save your children. I dread the idea of being a parent of a child these days. I see them being abused and tortured. And I don't think they're going to come out of this very well if the masking and the forced vaccination go on any longer. So we are at a turning point in history here. And what we do, it will determine the history of the world for good or evil, for truth and freedom versus lies and slavery. So please organize. Please get involved. You can contact me at robertmorningstar@protonmail.com to help you organize your freedom brigades and the militias out in the heartland. The time may come where you may be needed. So rehearse, practice protecting your town, set up watches, protocols to protect your towns, your families, your loved one, your neighbor. I think one of the best things a parent can do right now is to pull his kid out of public school. Just lose a year. Lose a year rather than lose the kid. Okay? That's what I'm telling you. These vaccines are not vaccines. They are genetic modification engineering technology. They are introducing toxins and poisons into the body, and many people are dying. In Israel, where 90% of the population got vaccinated, they're having a tremendous, what they call the Delta virus, Delta variant, doesn't really exist. It's fake. Nobody's ever isolated a Delta variant. What's happening is they're shedding the spike protein and contaminating themselves and others. And in Israel, 90% of the people who are hospitalized have been fully vaccinated. 85% of the serious life and death cases in the hospitals are fully vaccinated. In England, 72% of the COVID deaths in recent months have been upon fully vaccinated people, which means that the unvaxxed people are dying at 28% versus the 72%. That should tell you clearly what the problem is. The COVID-19 virus is innocuous. It's no worse or slightly worse than the flu. But if you're given the proper medication, like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, chlorine dioxide, MMS, all of these things are available, but they're forbidding them. This is the greatest crime against humanity since World War II. And we have to open our eyes to it. We have to reject the narrative that mass mind control is exerting on everyone. You have to reject the talking heads on CNN and MSNBC. You have to do your own research and investigate. Do not go gently into that good night. That's all I have to say, as the poet said. Do not go gently into that good night. Now I'd like
Robert,
to talk about
you have you have, I'm sorry, go ahead, Hercules.
No, your turn to comment, please.
Okay, I just wanted to comment that your absolutely high-focused view of this entire situations, I should say, is so accurate and so connecting the dots on such a deep level. that it's so wonderful to hear you and there are some others, of course, that are really on this, really on what the truth is, and rejecting all the deceit. And the deceit, I've never seen layers of deceit more in my entire life than right now. Right now, it's just everywhere you turn, you think you're in, where you are in a nightmare of deception. And you've made some very good, all the points you've made here are connected as you put one against another, and then showed how one is connected to the next. And all that is you can see the pattern. I've been doing some research recently because I'm preparing actually a worship service, and I wanted to have prayers for the Holocaust victims, the men and women of the Jewish community that were obliterated in the most cruel way you can possibly imagine. And I started doing research and looking at the photographs, and it's such a deep level of evil. And connecting that and seeing how it started and how it grew in Germany, this is exactly the same pattern that's going on right now. Would you not agree?
Absolutely. It's the grandchildren of those Nazis that have survived and thrived. It is the Fourth Reich, as Jim Mars labeled it so many years ago when we worked together. It was Jim Mars. Jim Mars was the first person that I told about finding the Angleton memo. The Angleton memo is a reference to the memo that I mentioned, November 12, 1963, calling for complete disclosure of UFOs and exposing his plan to tell the American people about the extraterrestrial presence here in 1964 after winning the 64 election. So that had to be stopped. But the reason that my words are resonating with you and others is that everything I've told you is based on facts. It's based on real science, not fake science. It's based on statistics from England, from Israel, from Australia, from the United States, from the VAERS. And it is a critical point in our history, whether we are going to go on as free human beings or continue living in the deception like a bunch of munchkins in Oz. So I was going to say that I wanted to talk about UFOs personally.
I want to go just for one moment. There's a question there that I just want to, I've been dying to ask, and that is, as you know, one of them, Braun, said that he wanted to warn, he said warned that there's going to be an attack of ETs, but it will be a false attack put on by the deep state and the New World Order to bring all the governments to their knees, and then they would take over as the one world government. But it would be a false attack. What are your feelings on that? What that statement said. How do you see that?
I feel that the COVID caper could be that extraterrestrial attack. That this virus can be looked upon as something, an evil creature from outer space. It's ironic. On Mondays I have a program on Revolution Radio called the Flash Gordon Radio Club, and we've been working with the project. The prophecies of Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe, in Chapter 1 is the Purple Death from Outer Space, which deals with the dosing of the world population with an electrified dust that is dropped in from outer space, kind of like chemtrails. And it's a disease that no one knows the source, the origin of it. It leaves the person with a purple mark, very much like the blood clots that are leaving people dead days and just weeks after receiving the jab. You can't call it a vaccine. This is not a vaccine. This is genetic engineering modification technology. The person who receives these vaccines based on the mRNA technology becomes a product. You've heard about GMO animals and GMO vegetables. Well, you are becoming, if you accept it, you're GMO people. I talk about humanized rats, and now ratified humans, folks. That's what we're dealing with. And it is
true. You know, it's such a monstrous, the whole thing is so monstrous that when myself and my colleagues and the group, the Disclosure Network New York group, try to inform people, it's such a monstrous nightmare that most people can't begin to think that this is really going on. And you can
That's
present
right.
a lot of facts and figure. I'm sure you've gone through this many times, but it's takes a heck of a lot to start opening people's eyes. Some of them are opening now, that is for sure. And they're shocked, and they have to rethink everything, as we all do, because what we've been bathed in an ocean of deceit and lies, as you just mentioned.
Yes. People don't think, for example, Bill Gates says, has been saying since 2015, if with the proper use of his vaccines, with these injections, we can reduce the world population by 15%. That goes in one ear and out the other. When you hear 15% and you think in terms of a dollar, you think, oh, 15 cents. And if you think even 10%, you think, oh, it's only a dime. But when you realize that Bill Gates is talking about culling the world population of 7.8 billion people in 5 years, by 15% in 5 years, it comes down to killing 234 million human beings every year for 5 years. You
wow.
see, it's not just 15%. It does not have done. We're talking about 15% of 1.7 or 1.8 billion people. And I've done the math. And when I did the division and multiplication, it comes to getting rid of 1.6 billion people over the whole period of time. But that requires 234 million people dying every year of something. And they're making sure something. Yeah. Last year, one of the greatest frauds, last year's COVID epidemic, nobody died of the flu. And yet the year before, over 100,000 people died of the flu because they were conflating
right.
flu with pneumonia, with anything. Anything that killed anybody in the United States last year was labeled COVID. And the hospitals were rewarded for COVID deaths. They were rewarded $39,500 for COVID deaths on ventilators. And they were rewarded $13,500 for pneumonia deaths without ventilators.
Think of that.
So you can see
that.
The profit motive. Yeah, think of the profit motive. People, a lady, well, she's a lady coroner in the state of Colorado, came out and saying there was huge fraud. She said, I was doing autopsies on suicides and murders, and when I saw the death certificate, they said COVID.
Yep.
People were working under their cars, and the car fell on them and killed them, and it was labeled COVID. People in motorcycle accidents, killed in road accidents, they were labeled COVID. This is the greatest lie ever perpetrated on humanity. And
you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You've got that hands down. It's a clear focus of the amount of monumental lies and fear. I've never seen in the last 2 years, all the networks, every single cast is like fear, 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 fear mongering. I've never seen anything like it. Even on the late night talk shows, they're all doing exactly the same thing. They're all puppets and they're all saying the exact same thing. Fear, 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 get your inoculation right now. And you see people in New York City standing in long lines waiting to get vaxxed. And I'm thinking, this is a nightmare. This is Hitler's dream. If Hitler had this technology, they would be doing to exterminate the Jews then. And here we are, and this is what's going on right now. And again, your vision and your facts are right on the money. I want to spend the last part of the program. This goes by so quickly, but we have about maybe 12 more minutes. Please, you were telling me a little bit about a UFO incident, very recent, and I would very much like you to, if you will, share
yes.
that with our listeners tonight.
Sure. I have had 8 close encounters with UFOs, always at the same place here on the west side, Soldiers and Sailors Monument, all of them at my Tai Chi class, and all of them with witnesses. Last Last Friday at 5:15, I was about to begin my Tai Chi class with one of my students, and I heard him say, "Hey, Robert, look, what's that?" I looked up into the sky, wide open patch of sky that we had there, and I saw the fastest thing I've ever seen in New York City airspace. It was a white object that was making a beeline across the sky, low altitude, no more than 3,000 feet high, racing over the buildings. And we had it in sight for about 5 or 6 seconds. I estimate it traveled a mile in that 5 seconds, and that's 12 miles per minute. And you can do the math, multiply that by 60. My estimate was it was going about 600 miles an hour. It was perfectly white. It looked shaped like a teardrop, broad, oval head with a tapering white tail. If you imagine a bowling pin that was not blunted on either end, but sharp or pointed on both ends, that would give you a good idea of what this was like. And my student and I looked at it. It went by very quickly. I looked for wings, rotors, airfoils, bird wing flutter, nothing. It was just on a beeline, perfectly streamlined, and traveling, my estimate, over 600 miles an hour. Not
wow.
A sound, no exhaust, no condensation trail, and it was unique. So a couple of days later, we had another class, and my friend brought up the subject again. He pointed to an airliner. He said, "Look at that." And I looked at, and airliners in the New York area, when they're slowing down or departing, when they're slowing down for an approach to a landing at LaGuardia or at Newark or JFK, they have to slow down, but the minimum they can do is 200 miles an hour. So when you see an airliner kind of coming down, you see it at low altitude, coming or going from an airport, they're doing about 200 miles an hour. This object was doing at least three times that speed with no noise. So I'd like to mention that I'm going to have a saucer watch. I'm going to organize a seminar. It costs $25. It's going to be 2.5 hours long. It's going to meet on the Soldiers and Sailors Monument, and I will teach people how to distinguish between airplane lights and UFO lights. Basically, if you see a red light going from right to left, it's probably a plane. But if you see a red light going from left to right, you're either seeing a UFO or some pilot is flying upside down. Those are some tips you can get from this course. I'd also like to mention that I have two books that I published. They're not called e-books. They're called e-file books. And the e-file book stands for encyclopedic, because I have compiled scores and scores and scores of photographs and documents and interviews and videos. And I've compiled two books. One is called Communion on the Moon, which is about the Apollo program to the moon and the things that were discovered by the Apollo astronauts, architecture, living things. So that's called Communion on the Moon. The other one is called The Four Faces of Mars Decrypted, which is revealing that the face on Mars is not just one face, but it's four faces encoded geometrically. And when you split them apart, what comes out is the face of a lion, the face of a man, the face of a hawk or an eagle, and the face of an ox. And those four faces are encrypted in that famous Face on Mars photograph, the best one of which was the 1997 Slant Range photograph, which had the greatest detail, and I was able to rectify and then break the code. So if you're interested in those books, they're $25 each, and you can buy them by PayPal, Robert D. Morningstar at PayPal, or robert.morningstar@gmail.com. You can write to me at robert.morningstar@protonmail if you need information. Or you can just cite the name of the book, Communion on the Moon, or The Four Faces of Mars Decrypted, and send me a message via PayPal. And that's the only way I receive it. If you send me an email, I can give you an address to mail a check to. It's important to get this information out. It's not an ordinary book. It's not an e-book. It's an e-file book, and that stands for encyclopedia. It includes the best photographs that the Apollo astronauts ever took, Apollo 17, Apollo 16, and others, and teleplays and video lectures. So try it. $25 for each book.
Wow, that's outstanding. What a value. And you got my right away, you got my order. Absolutely. What a wonderful thing you're doing. We'll also, but Robert, if you also send me anything you have on the promo of the books and also the other events that you're putting together or will be part of, please give me the promo so that I can get it out to everybody. As soon as you can, and that will go out of here. We got a pretty good list of people very much interested in exactly what you're talking about.
Thank you. I'm also working on two others, the JFK, The Ultimate Secret of the JFK Assassination, to be coming out in November, and The True History of UFOs, the 74 years. It's been 74 years since Roswell, the recovery, and Kenneth Arnold. And I did a lot of work this year, and I've compiled it's one huge ebook, and it has MJ-12 documents. It has the Interplanetary Phenomenon Unit report of the recovery at Roswell. Let me just say this. This vaccine that they're pushing on us, I have a feeling that it has some component that's related to extraterrestrials. Two doctors and a nurse died from exposure to something that the aliens were carrying. There are very strict quarantine laws in NASA about people having contact with ETs. And the laws in NASA are that if a person has direct contact with extraterrestrials, they are to be quarantined, and NASA gives instructions to their lawyers telling them how they can go to court and resist any attempt by any judge to free a quarantined individual. So I warn people, if you have a close encounter with a UFO or with an alien or extraterrestrials, don't tell the government about it. First of all, before the disclosure of 2017, they would ridicule you, they would harass you, they would label you a tin foil hat, and now I don't really think it's much better. So keep your experiences to yourself and your trusted confidants, like Nick and Disclosure New York. Those are people
who can
understand.
And on that note, we have to start winding down a little bit.
Okay.
And I want to give everybody a chance to repeat their contact info and for Nick to give his contact info as well.
Thank you, Hercules. So, Robert, please, if you go ahead one more time, a little bit slower, okay. But give your contact again, please.
Okay, you can contact me directly by email at robert.morningstar@gmail.com. You can also
write
to robert.morningstar@protonmail.com. And you can find me on Facebook and Twitter. I'd like people to follow my news feed on Twitter. And if you email me, I'll be happy to be in contact with you and invite you to Revolution Radio on Sundays at 3 on Studio A. I have the Morning Star Report. And on Monday nights at 10 on Studio B, revolution.radio, where I have The Right Stuff and the Flash Gordon Radio Club. Thank you for having me on. It's always it always goes too fast, but thanks.
What a total pleasure, Robert. Absolutely, you're an amazing guy. And listen, if you ever want to run for president, I would work hard for you. You've got the brains, and you've got the vision to really understand the real world and to go forward. What we've got now is really very scary. Okay, if you want to contact me, I'm going to give it to you again. It is NICKNYNY1, and that's the numeral one, not O-N-E, @gmail.com. Again, NICKNYNY1@gmail.com. What a total pleasure, Robert. Really, you're an amazing guy. What an honor to have you as a friend and a colleague. Absolutely.
I appreciate that very much. And since you mentioned presidents, I always remember President Kennedy, but a big part of my life is George Washington. And I like to say what George Washington said. I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees.
Absolutely. So wow, that says it right there. Oh, my God. What a great thing. All right, so we're going to go out now. Hercules, I'm going to give the final little plug here and say, with much love to you, Robert, and to everyone out there, this is Nick Curto for Disclosure Network New York, wishing you all an enlightening journey as you connect the dots to seek truth. Till next time, keep informed, stay safe, and be very, very kind to one another. Goodbye for now. Much love to everyone out there. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much again, Nick and Robert, and thanks to everybody who tuned in. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called and you're waiting in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And I will close with our Olympian disclaimer. Aristotle suggested that entertaining new thoughts without feeling obliged to accept them is a wise practice to cultivate. We agree. Our Olympian podcast explore interesting thoughts and viewpoints on a variety of topics, including health, religion, and politics. Our exploration gives voice to diverse personal opinions and systems of belief. Discussions in this forum, though sincere and enthusiastic, are not to be construed as Mount Olympus's endorsement of any particular point of view. Listen, learn, form your own opinions, make up your own mind. Until next time, this is Hercules Invictus wishing you well. And now we close with Mighty Elohim by Linnell Griffin.
Thank you.